Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Christians, how can we be slaves? We are freed of the law of Moses, after all. Free at last. We hear TV commercials saying, have it your way. As Americans, we are in favor of freedom, of independence. Each of our homes we identify as our castle. We don't want to be bound to any other person. We are Americans. We want what we want. It is the American dream, after all. One other slogan, be all that you can be, also relates to this idea. Slaves of righteousness? What does this mean? Today, as we make our way through the Bible in 2 years, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 6. In this section of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, to make it obey its passions. He later writes, but thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. What is Paul meaning by slaves of righteousness? William Barclay, who wrote a commentary on Romans, has a pretty good answer. He wrote, when we think of a servant, in our sense of the word, we think of a man who gives a certain agreed part of his time to his master, and who receives a certain agreed wage for doing so. Within that agreed time, he is at the disposal and in the command of his master. But when that time ends, he is free to do as he likes. During his working hours, he belongs to his master, but in his free time, he belongs to himself. But in Paul's time, the status of the slave was quite different. Literally, he had no time which belonged to himself. Every single moment belonged to his master. He was his master's exclusive possession. This explains why Paul, in his letter to the Romans, begins with, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Paul understood that he had to give his whole life to Christ. It is often difficult being a Christian today. The world says one thing, and the Word of God oftentimes says the opposite. A prominent person is quoted as saying, today, nothing is so common as turning right into wrong and wrong into right by imploring all sorts of clever expedients and strange tricks. This prominent person was Martin Luther. I'm sure for many of you, the idea behind Luther's quote has been on your mind. We are confused. We have been told that two wrongs can't make a right, but in today's culture, it can oftentimes seem that way. Luther had much to say in regards to sin. He saw sin as prominent during his lifetime. He said, this is the sin of the devil. He not only sins and is disobedient to God, but what he does is to be considered well done. Their God cannot come to forgiving sin. This is why punishment must come upon Germany, where sin and shame have turned into honor. Why even heathen philosophers have said that matters stood bad in a country where what was formerly considered vice has become virtue. Then the country is lost. As long as immorality is still considered vice and sin, help and remedy are possible. But when it is regarded as right, one cannot help. It is as if a man was laying on his bed, mortally sick, but were nevertheless to insist that he is well. In that frame of mind, he will ask for no remedy, and thus he cannot be helped. Sin can take ownership over you and me. The devil is always looking to corrupt Christians. We were all born sinners. Then when we were baptized, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit killed our old self, and we became right with God. From that moment on, sin and the devil have been going after us to corrupt us. Throughout the scripture, Paul is emphasizing that the believer's response by using a refusal to allow sin to regain its reign. Going back to Paul, he clearly says everyone serves a master. Is our master sin or Jesus Christ? We are bound to slavery because everyone serves a master. To be fair, our owner is not like how we would interpret the old American South or modern-day Africa or the Middle East. Paul is turning that notion of slavery upside down. Instead of being in a state of slavery, which then leads to coerced obedience, he now speaks of a choice to listen and then to respond to one of two masters, which then results in becoming a slave of one or the other. This freedom of choice is available only to baptized believers. Unbaptized believers are slaves to sin and are compelled to respond to its whims. But again, you may be asking yourselves, what does it mean to be slaves of righteousness? We have that term slave figured out. It's a person held in servitude. Now, what does it mean to be righteous? I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, have seen the movie Finding Nemo. I'm sure that Pastor and his family have seen it dozens of times. Well, toward the end of that movie, the main character, Marlin, a clownfish, who is searching for his son Nemo, meets up with a group of sea turtles. One of the sea turtles he meets is named Crush. He then rides Crush through a current on the way to Sydney, Australia. As they enter the current, Crush shouts, "Righteous! Righteous! Yeah!" You see, at that moment, everything is awesome, genuine, and excellent. This is how we are to live. We are to be genuine, but we can't do that on our own. Crush couldn't do that on his own. He had to ride the current. We have to know that Jesus Christ did it all for us. We are poor sinners, and at the same time, we are saints. We become righteous before God and are saved only through faith in Christ. And therefore, Christ alone is our righteousness. Jesus Christ came down from heaven because he first loved us. He loves the world, but the world hates God because the world wants to be God, as the Gospel of John writes. Again, we are saints and sinners at the same time. We aren't perfect. We were slaves to sin and bound to eternal death. Because of this, Jesus came to save us by giving his life on the cross and rising to let the whole world know that he is God incarnate. Freed from sin, we can now serve God. However, this does not give us permission to sin or that we are free from sin's attempts to reign over us again. Only when we are slaves to God will we have the freedom to be the people he created us to be and have eternal life with him. Amen. Now you are the body of Christ, each one of you part of it. Amen.